Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
It's that time on the radio here in Spain where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. How are we today, Bill?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Howard. Benefiting a little from the relaxation and the restrictions which have been allowed. Still rather restricted, but nonetheless, a little relaxation is always welcome.
Yes, indeed. We're in phase one, a lot of Spain. Mm-hmm. Does it mean that you've been able to open your offices now?
Pretty much. I mean, Javier, Altea, Mijas, Marbella, Neja, Estepona, Mallorca, Tenerife will open on Monday. All those other offices are already open, and Benijofar will open the week after, next Monday week. So, you know, we're pretty much there. But frankly, as I said, I think last week, it's sort of business as usual. If you phone the office that you wish to speak to now, you'll probably be answered by the partner, senior partner, client servicing staff at the office. If they are not yet back at the office for whatever reason, then the phones are redirected to them individually, so you won't have any problem contacting anybody. But, you know, life has been unusual over the last few months, but as these restrictions lift, you know, hopefully we can get back to settle into whatever normal will mean after this time is over.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Frankly, if you have... I beg your pardon, Howard, sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just agreeing with you, Bill.
Yeah, I think if you have put your financial planning to one side during this period, perhaps now is a good time to start looking at some of those things that we often ignore. And as I say, the offices are now open again with safety measures in place to protect our clients, of course, and our staff. And we continue to offer contactless advice through telephone or video meetings if the client wishes. So either way, we're available and ready to help with any of the tax and estate planning, pensions, investments and Brexit-related concerns that our clients may have. We've managed the restrictions pretty well and have had a pretty much continuous flow of business without too many serious interruptions.
Good. Well, our discussion last week touched on estate planning but didn't go into detail. So let's focus on one particular aspect this week, Spanish succession tax. So, Bill, who is liable to Spanish succession and gift tax?
The trite answer to that, Howard, is pretty much everybody and pretty much on everything. Much will depend, of course, on double tax treaties. But to summarise, the people who are liable for the tax range from spouses all the way through to unrelated parties, and the tax rates vary very differently dependent upon the relationship between the person making the transfer, either in lifetime or at death. As the relationship is more distant, so the levels of tax increase in some cases exponentially. Perhaps I'll come to that in a moment. But Spanish succession and gift tax, remember it's a tax both on death and during lifetime transfers. Unlike the UK, it's the recipient who receives a benefit from a third party and not the donor or the estate of the deceased that pays the tax. But it's only due if the recipient of a lifetime gift or the beneficiary of an inheritance or an estate is resident in Spain, or the assets that are being gifted or inherited is a Spanish asset, for example, a property located in Spain or perhaps the transfer of a Spanish bank account. Spanish asset is described as any assets or rights which are located in Spain or which have the power to be legally exercised or realised there. And that includes real estate in Spain, which affects most expatriates owning property in Spain. On the transfer of that property, there is likely to be some consideration of Spanish succession tax, depending upon who is to receive the property and in what circumstances. And also what's known as movable property, that is, things that you own outside of real estate, which are located in Spain or permanently associated with the land or the buildings that you own in Spain. So to put it another way, Spanish succession and gift tax is not payable if the assets are outside of Spain and the recipient is not a resident of Spain. But if the assets are in Spain, or you are a resident of Spain and you receive assets, then of course succession tax is going to have an impact upon your tax position.
Well, the regional autonomous communities can adjust the succession tax rates and allowances. But let's stick to the state rates and allowances today. Is the family home subject to succession tax, or is it exempt?
There are a variety of differences. Generally speaking, the transfer of the family home is subject to a relief from tax within certain limits, and much will depend upon the circumstances in which you find yourself as a beneficiary. If you, under the state rules, there is a 95% reduction against the inherited value of the individual's main home, that of the deceased, up to a limit, provided that he meets all of the various conditions that apply. The person inheriting the property, for example, must be a spouse or a direct ascendant or descendant, or, failing that, if it's a remoter relative who's aged over 65 and has been dependent, living with the deceased during the 2 years prior to death, that allowance applies. But conditionally, to get that reduction, the property has to be retained by the beneficiary for 10 years following the death. But that doesn't need to be the main home of the beneficiary in that period. If the beneficiary dies within 10 years, the succession tax actually is not clawed back. Now, you need to be very careful here, because whilst people feel that the main home is free of tax, this question of having to retain ownership for the following 10 years is somewhat restrictive, because over the 40-odd years that Blevins Franks have been operating in Spain, our records indicate that on the death of a male spouse, generally speaking, female widows return to the UK within a couple of years of the death of their husband. Not quite the same proportion of men return, but I think women are differently motivated. The children, grandchildren, increasing age, reducing health, loneliness, those issues, of course, are paramount. And very often, it does mean that the individual returns to the UK rather sooner than that 10-year period.
What are the succession and gift tax rates in Spain under the state rules, and how high do they go, and what are the multipliers?
It's a very complex question to answer without providing individuals with a written statement of the rates and the way in which these multipliers work. So if an individual listening to this programme is interested, all you've got to do is phone the offices of Blevins Franks, so they will provide you with a document detailing in very precise terms the rates of tax and the way the multipliers work. Because to explain it now may mean you drop into a lull. What matters most of all, first of all, is the rate, the relationship that the individual has to the person making the transfer. And as I said earlier, the closer that relationship, the lower the level of tax. The basic rate of tax stands at around 34%, but by the time the relationship extends outwards from the spouse through children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, and then on to unrelated parties, if you're in that last category and someone leaves you an inheritance, depending on the value of wealth that you have personally before you receive that inheritance, the highest rate of tax rises to 82%. 82%. And the rates even for brothers and sisters, stepchildren, unrelated related family, but on the far ends of relationship, those rates of tax still run into the 40%, 50%, and even 60% range. So it's worth understanding in more detail quite how your intentions of leaving benefit are likely to be taxed at the time that this tax becomes due. Of course, there isn't a double tax treaty between the UK and Spain as far as death duties, death taxes are concerned. And if you are a resident of Spain, you're liable for Spanish succession and gifts tax. At the same time and on the same assets, if you remain a domicile of the UK, which is a very different thing to being a resident, it sort of where do you belong in the long term if you have not shaken off your UK domicile, in effect, you become liable to UK inheritance tax and Spanish succession tax on the same assets. There is usually a negotiation that then takes place to get a form of bilateral relief from one tax or the other. But I'm sure that listeners will understand that if you fall into that group, you're going to be a long time getting out of the clutches of both tax authorities and end up paying the higher level of tax that applies to the estate because of the UK and the Spanish not having this double tax treaty.
Yeah. So what allowances are available for family members?
I think, again, that does depend from, 100% for some individuals at the closer relationships within those scales down to very limited allowances for, as I mentioned earlier, I think for grandchildren, where allowances are down at under 2,000 euros. So, again, I think it's a question of obtaining precise information on who you expect to benefit and what the likely tax consequences are of those transfers. And as I say, by contacting your local Blevins Franks office, they have got a document which will give you chapter and verse in very good detail before you need to speak to anybody so that you might understand the likelihood of taxation at the point in time at which it becomes due.
Do you find many people leave money to people who are not blood relatives? And what does that problem
Yeah, it does happen more frequently than you might imagine, to people like housekeepers, to gardeners, to long-standing friends, people who are not part of your close family. There are a lot of people who are left widowed or widowed who have limited family but do have long-standing, very close relationships with friends. Unfortunately, they end up in that very distant category of unrelated individuals where the multiplier to the basic rate of tax can increase it, I'd say, up to above 80%. So if you do have any intentions to leave any inheritance or make a gift to anybody who is not a blood relative, and that, of course, includes people like stepchildren, you've got to start to look at how you make that transfer, because otherwise the effect of their distance from you in terms of blood relationship is going to decimate the gift and inheritance you might wish to leave them because of the exponentially increasing rates of tax the further they are from you as a blood relative.
So what's your advice then, Bill, to listeners on how to reduce the succession tax liability for their family and heirs?
I think, Howard, it is honestly a question of just organisation in advance. I know that none of us really want to sit down and start talking about the day we fall off our perch and the consequences thereof. There are perhaps other more emotional issues to consider apart from money. But if you leave people behind you with the enormous burden of unravelling an unplanned for financial, economic and tax consequences as a result of your death, it doesn't help the circumstances of the survivors. We have thousands of clients around Europe, and we try to make it our job to ensure that individuals spend time thinking about how they wish to transfer their assets at the point in time at which they pass off this mortal coil, so that they don't leave behind problems. They leave behind people who, in grief, can continue their lives without the difficulties and harassment that takes place in dealing with the tax authorities and very difficult tax circumstances sometimes, and often going on for 2, 3, 4, or 5 years. So the way in which to reduce the difficulties and the liability, of course, is to plan in advance. Now, Blevins Franks have been operating high-quality specialist tax advice, particularly in the area of estate planning, as well as investment services, for 40 years. And it's proved eminently successful for literally, I'm sad to say, the thousands of people that have been our clients but who are no longer with us. It's always sad, of course, when one loses a client. There's no question about that. But it is a great relief to both the family and to ourselves when we're able to turn up and indicate to the client how straightforward and simple the transfer of the assets of the deceased is going to be. And generally speaking, that doesn't just mean that the assets pass very easily across from the deceased to the beneficiaries. They also pass with almost, in almost all cases, significantly less tax, if any, than would otherwise have been paid.
Well, in case any of our listeners would like any personal advice on the estate planning, how can they get in touch? You were mentioning, Bill, that you're operating now and conducting meetings in this new normal.
Yeah, as I said earlier, Howard, life has been unusual and challenging over the last few months. But as these restrictions become less onerous, and we all adapt to whatever comes next, and hopefully enjoy some newly introduced freedoms, for many of us, you know, our health considerations have taken precedence over wealth, and rightly so, to a large extent. However, if you have put your financial plan to one side for a while, perhaps it is time to refocus on your long-term financial security and your preparation for things that are inevitable, like planning for the time at which your family will be the inheritors or beneficiaries of your estate. And as I say, most of the offices, with one small exception, are now open, and indeed all the telephones are being routed through to someone who answers them immediately. We've got those safety measures in place, so if you are concerned that your estate may not be properly placed or most beneficially positioned from a tax point of view, then I would suggest you go to the Blevins Franks website at www.blevinsfranks.com and call the office nearest to you and simply search the website first to get yourself a better understanding of who we are and what we do, but importantly to then phone the office and say, can they give you any information about the consequences of succession tax in Spain and its relationship with UK inheritance tax, and they will give you information absolutely free of charge, and hopefully you'll find that of enough interest to then meet with one of our skilled tax and wealth management staff to put you in a position where your affairs are much better placed than would otherwise be the case without that planning. Planning in advance is the thing that both makes life easier for your beneficiaries primarily, but also that which suppresses your tax liabilities on those transfers down to very low levels and often can be avoided entirely.
Very informative as always, Bill. Thank you very much. We'll do the same at the same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Great to speak to you. Stay safe and enjoy the next week.